Hi, and welcome to the PodMag, our monthly news podcast from the Faculty of Social Sciences at the Open University. I'm Karen Foley, and in this May issue, I'm interviewing Simon Budgeon, Eddie Wastanage, and Joe Smith. It's spring, and that only means one thing at the Open University: lawn mowing. You might hear some sounds as we're moving along the programme today, but it's a good thing that spring's finally come. And let's first catch up with our news for May. Academics from the faculty are often involved with television programmes. In fact, the Open University works with many broadcasters to create innovative and informative content. And this month, we see two new programmes that Rajiv Prabhakar and Louise Westmoreland, respectively, have been involved with. The Wastemen is a three-part series starting on the 28th of April. I'm told it's an observational series with warm Geordie characters at its heart, and it covers issues such as the massive waste generated during the Christmas period, and how one person's rubbish can become another's treasure, and how the way we process waste is changing so that we can recycle waste into electricity and other valuable resources. I'll be talking to Rajiv about his involvement in this next month. You won't have escaped the build-up to the general elections, and many of the faculty's academics have been involved in commenting, such as Alan Shipman and Richard Heffernan. Open Democracy are publishing a range of articles, such as Steve Garner, who has three articles, the first of which, What is this political space we call immigration?, Olaf Corey, on cross-party pledges mask deep divisions on climate policy ahead of the general election, Jacqueline Baxter on smart proposals for education, and Jeff Hoosmans and Amadeen Shearer, whose article Why Bother About Digital Rights? An Absence in the Election Campaigns analyses how digital rights are too often reduced to questions of security, and proposed that, in their election manifestos, none of the major British parties appear to have grasped their wider significance. Now, we have some events on in May and June that may be of interest. On the 12th of May, at the Open University, here in Milton Keynes, there is a CSIG Forum, Methodological and Intellectual Challenges for Social Science Research, which will be the occasion to introduce one of the new CSIG research programmes, Digital Citizen. The morning session will be dedicated to the methodological challenges encountered in research, led by Jenny Meegan, Philip O'Sullivan and John Darcy, that explores, through oral history, the educational experiences of politically motivated former prisoners and the Open University staff and prison education staff who worked with them. The afternoon session, organised by the Digital Citizen Research Programme, will introduce Engan Eisen and Evelyn Rupert's latest book, Being Digital Citizens. Evelyn and Engan will focus on questions of method for investigating digital acts and how digital acts through the internet cross boundaries and create paradoxical subjects of rights. And on Wednesday, the 20th of May, in the evening, at the Open University in London, Kezia Mahendran will give a keynote talk as part of the CSIG lecture series on Being on the Line, Citizenship, Identities and Governance in Times of Crisis. And in book news, Steve Toombs has co-authored a book with David White, The Corporate Criminal: Why Corporations Must Be Abolished. The book dissects the myth that the corporation can be a rational, responsible citizen. It shows how, in its present form, the corporation is permitted, licensed and encouraged to systematically kill, maim and steal for profit. Therefore, the authors argue, the corporation cannot be easily reformed, and the only feasible solution to this crime problem is to abolish the legal and political privileges that enable the corporation to act with impunity. An interesting read. And in some news from the gossip section, the TV Times reveals that Casualty star Amanda Mealing is halfway through a psychology degree with the OU. And lastly, news from Student Connections. We've been having fun at recent Activate sessions where we've learned about blogging with Meg John Barker. And this month, Jonquil Lowe and Non Scantlebury have given us excellent discussions about voting and digital literacy. Keep an eye out for these sessions on your student homepage and please do come along. They really are lots of fun. And that's all the news. And now, in the first of our interviews, I'm going to talk to Simon Budgeon from the Open Media Unit. Simon, thanks for coming along today. So, tell us about your role. What do you do?
Well, as head of Open Learn Commissioning, I look after all the parts of Open Learn that don't come automatically from courses. So that's material that supports the Open University BBC broadcast relationship, our relationship with other broadcasters. If we do anything around topical events that are happening in the news or diary events, I look after that. And also we do a number of standalone interactive pieces a year. So it might be a data visualisation or a game or an opportunity to try what it's like to be a social worker for a day. Anything like that, that's in my remit.
Fantastic. And you cover the whole of the Open University, don't you? So not just social sciences, but you work with all the faculties.
We work with all of them, yes.
That must be really challenging, having so much content out there. Tell us, what's the most exciting thing you've been doing lately then?
We've taken the old Epoch tool in psychology and reversioned it for the 21st century. KMI produced it 10 years ago and it was great state of the art back then, but obviously time moves on and back then everyone was using computers to access the internet. Now it's laptops and pads and touch screens and things like that. We've taken it, re-engineered it completely and taken what was a nice tool with some great learning in and made it a real pleasure to use.
And so whilst that's on some of the psychology modules, everyone can access it because it's on OpenLearn.
Yep, OpenLearn is open to the public. Anyone can come along, have a go at things, try it for free. If they like it, everything's under Creative Commons as well, so they can take it away, publish it on their own website, rework it and reuse it in other ways.
And you were telling me that you know, about 5% of every module is available on OpenLearn. I mean, that's fantastic for people wanting to try new modules and see what's out there and even have a bit of summertime reading. What sorts of things would you say would be really good to pick up on now? Maybe it's study skills or something topical?
Well, what we've just launched and what we're incredibly excited about are badged open courses. This is where you don't only get tracked as you go through, but you answer some proper serious quiz questions and actually get a certificate or a badge at the end that proves what you can do and proves what your knowledge is.
Brilliant idea, that's fantastic. And also you were telling me that some of the programming that the Open University has been involved with is being relaunched. Can you tell us a bit about the streets?
Secret History of Our Streets. The first one was done in 2012 and that focused on London. It took the Charles Booth poverty maps and told the history of the streets that were featured on those maps from the time that he did them all the way up to the present day. And so looking at places like Deptford High Street, for example. And then a couple of years later, there was another series that went to Scotland and looked at different streets in Scotland, in Glasgow, similar sort of thing. They were really popular at the time. BBC 4 are re-showing them again on Thursday evening, so if you missed them first time around, I really do recommend catching them.
Lovely, Simon. Well, thank you so much for coming along today, and I hope everyone makes the most of all the material available on OpenLearn.
Thank you very much.
And in the next of our interviews, I'm going to phone Eddie Wastnage and talk to him about his recent Friday Thinker that he did on the faculty Facebook page. Hi, Eddie. So first, if you can tell us a little bit about the Friday Thinker. So what was the question you presented and was the response what you expected it to be?
OK, well, the question was that the current elections in the UK, general election coming up, the focus has mainly been on domestic issues, NHS, immigration and the economy. And I noted that foreign policy, the UK's foreign policy has taken something of a back seat in debate so far. And does that represent perhaps, you know, the UK's declining role in international affairs as well, or is it just that it's not really a priority for voters and for the parties? So I pitched it very broad.
And what was the general consensus then? Because you'd sort of proposed, I guess, that this wasn't foremost in the minds of most people.
There was a real spread, actually. I think the students who are interested in international relations and foreign policy said, well, of course it's very important, you know, and they should be paying more attention to it, whereas a lot of those, you know, are like, well, there's more important things to worry about, i.e., you know, our concern should be, the domestic should be, you know, things that are happening at home first. And I think that's probably something that's probably sharpened during times of economic crisis. So, it was interesting to see how that played out.
And what do you enjoy most about this sort of format of debate, where it's quite casual, like on Facebook, where people can post things and you're responding in fairly real time? What do you get out of it?
It's engaging with the students, really, because obviously we're a very different kind of institution from a conventional university. So it gives you that kind of interaction, which we miss, you know. But to be, you know, doing things in real time is really nice. And to make, you know, when it's about a topical subject and certain things, you know, come up which inflame people's passions quite a lot, you know, so it's quite interesting to have the debate with them there. And also, I think some people will make certain comments which may to get a reaction either from me or from other students, but I quite like sort of placating them and saying, well, that's a good point, you know, all opinions are interested, you know, or value here, sort of they're not offensive, you know, let's move on kind of thing. So you know, you get a few difficult people contributing, but you get some really good ones, you know, so I like the mix of that.
So you're basically starting a large contentious argument and then trying to pacify everyone.
Exactly. Sitting back and watching the fireworks. Yeah, enjoy it. No, but I mean, I quite like that, you know. I mean, it's quite strange. I mean, a lot of my research interests are into diplomacy and things like that, so perhaps I'm just, you know, a frustrated diplomat. I just want to do that on the side, you know. But yeah, is that, you know, it's easy to be a little bit blinkered or just be completely consumed by your own research or your own teaching work you're doing, and therefore to put it out to a wider audience, things that you're interested in, it's really interesting because, you know, you see what's going on.
Well, Eddie, thank you so much for talking to me today. That's been a really interesting discussion about the Friday Thinker. And don't forget that if you'd like to take part, you can check out the faculty Facebook page where the details are posted each week. And our last interview this month is with Jo Smith, who's a senior lecturer in geography. And Jo's been involved in some fascinating projects about climate change, such as Earth and Vision. Jo, thanks for coming along today. Tell us about the Earth and Vision project.
The Earth and Vision project is trying to imagine what the public might do if broadcasters like the BBC started to release massive amounts of their broadcast archives. They're not about to do that anytime soon, although there are American examples of that happening. But we wanted to help the thinking, perhaps years in advance, to try to work out what people might want to do with this, whether they're teachers or learners or citizens. Specifically, we're working with environmental programming across 50 years. So that brings me to the other reason for the Earth in Vision project, and that's to try to add broadcasting in to our current accounts of environmental history and politics. So we're taking advantage of the fact that we've got access to 50 hours of the BBC's footage, both TV and radio, and all of it one way or another relates to environmental issues.
So as part of this, you're interviewing some very famous filmmakers, for example, David Attenborough, and you've been talking to them about the way that they've seen filmmaking changes over time. Can you tell us a bit about what they said?
Well, we've talked to about 20 producers, channel controllers, presenters, including David Attenborough, who, of course, has been all of those things. And we have been wanting to get a sense both of the technical changes, but also to try to unpick how their storytelling has changed. One of the things that's very striking is, of course, that the stories you can tell are constantly changing in line with the technology. So the capacity to go undersea, the capacity to be up in a canopy, time-lapse, or to be able to really go in close, particularly when you're talking about smaller plants and animals. And that's all good fun. But the more sober topic that we've been working on with them is how we can tell stories that are true to the state of knowledge about global environmental change. So how do we take programme makers out of the idea that they can only really hold an audience with a nice fluffy story and pan out to tell a picture that includes human impacts? Well, I must admit I've been really reassured in the interviews that we've done. It strikes me that current broadcasting is really looking to try to write into the script a really honest and sincere account of biodiversity loss and climate change threats. It isn't easy, though, and they are very well tuned as a community to knowing what it takes to get people on a sofa and to stay with your channel. So some of my learning has been about how they try to gently weave in these, as I say, honest accounts of really where we're at with environmental change issues.
So maybe you can tell us then a little bit about what you're hoping to do with some of this material, because you're midway through this project and you've got some fabulous interviews and things. What are you hoping to actually do with them?
Well, it's a research project funded by the Arts and Humanities Research Council. So the first thing they're going to expect is a nice little pile of academic journal papers. And for sure, we'll do that. But if you want to know what is really exciting us at the moment, it's some of the work we've been doing with teachers and students, school students, and also Open University students, to test some approaches to using broadcast. And when I say using broadcast, I mean them using broadcast archive content to write their own accounts of environmental history using television and audio. We really would like to look ahead to the point where we could get some additional funding to work with other partners to make material for schools and universities that would allow students to be their own broadcasters, if you like. And I think that'll keep us busy for years.
Absolutely. Well, you're doing an awful lot of research there and an awful lot of applied work as well. It sounds really exciting, Joe. Thanks for talking to us about it today.
Pleasure.
And that's all we've got time for in this edition. Don't forget to check out your qualification websites for more information about Student Connections, and get in touch with us and let us know your news at podmag@open.ac.uk. You can also follow the faculty on Twitter at OUSocSci, and like the faculty Facebook page and take part in the Friday Thinker each week. In May, we have Jerry Mooney, Jonquil Lowe and Jerome de Hanau, Troy Cooper, Peter Redman and Gillian Rose. And if you like this, you may also like the social sciences audio drama, The Student Life. And that's all from me, Karen Foley. Bye for now, and thanks for listening.